What?
Yeah, let's get punk on.
And then we segue it out nicely. Hello, everyone. Welcome into the tree fort, to the bunker, if you will. we are talking movie today, a fan favorite, a podcasting favorite of ours, talking movies to you good folks. So welcome in, Captain Philip Boughton here, a Joseph Johnson, a Stevie P., and a Joey Berries, the typical ensemble. He's back.
We got two salutes and a wave.
That was a bicep pull right there.
That was nice. Typical ensemble for the talk movie. We are talking Saving Private Ryan, Shaving Private Ryan, as
Joe John. Yeah, I thought we were doing Saving Ryan's Privates.
We'll talk both. I got duped by Shaving Ryan's Privates. The girls never came. So
I heard they can't.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough.
All my research is way.
Watched it. The girls never showed up. So, basically, we are here with you talking Saving Private Ryan. Obviously,
different type of all male cast.
Different, yeah. But as equally diverse as this one. so we wanted to take the time because of D-Day. This past Saturday was the 82nd anniversary of D-Day. Some would call it an invasion of Normandy. The Allies getting back into Europe and then just running a train over
USA, USA, yeah. USA.
Big time. Flexing that red, white, and blue dominance all over Western Europe. So for everybody in Europe that doesn't speak German today, you're welcome. All right. We're here to talk about the movie, talk a little patriotism, because why not? I'm super jazzed up for 4th of July this year. It's going to be lit. But we're going to talk through all that. Typical talk movie to me. So strap in, get your gear.
Strap on, if that's your thing.
Strap on, Joseph Johnson's thing. It is Pride Month. So. grab your pack.
I think that's what we were fighting for.
Don't grab your typewriter.
Yeah, Pride Month 250.
Yeah, that's why we stormed those beaches for the rave music and the Molly. So, all right, we'll get started. so, Saving Private Ryan. I'd start by saying, who's not in this movie? Tom Hanks, Matt Damon, Dennis Farina, Vin Diesel, Giovanni Ribisi, Paul Giamatti, Ted Danson. Everybody's in it.
Adam Goldberg,
Pedro Pascal. Thank God.
No, it has no Pedro.
Little
Pascal.
Too young. Little too young.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of good people in there.
I feel like you're forgetting a huge one, Bryan Cranston. I watched this movie for the first time in like 15 years. Like I was saying to the boys earlier, I YouTube scenes a lot, but Bryan Cranston is in only one scene, not YouTubeable. And I'm like, I totally forgot that Walter White is in this movie with a CGI'd missing left arm for a good 5 minutes. But I was happy to see him.
Yeah. You're missing a big one. We'll see if you caught it. But we're going to dive into our typical categories, items that we'd want to take, if we got any beef. And then I've got one pressing question for the members of the table here. So where do you all want to get started? I would say, movie in a minute, or, fill us up with that movie. But, I mean, we storm Normandy. We follow this gang of Army Rangers that are out to save a young James Francis Ryan, whose brothers had all perished in Normandy invasion. So do they find him? I don't know. You're going to have to watch the movie. Thoughts before we dive in? Anybody?
I mean, I was going to say, it's a class. I mean, it's like an all-time movie, I feel like.
It's definitely top three war movies.
Anyone else watch this? Grade school.
What?
What'd you say, Stevie?
I watched it every year from sixth grade to junior year.
They showed it to you in school?
Yeah.
We saw it. Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I saw it. They would just make us cover our eyes during the sex scene.
I too remember them showing us Amistad, which is another Steven Spielberg movie, in English class. And a lot of people had to leave the
school. No, that's not even that movie.
Yeah.
Throwing slaves over the ship. It was.
I remember watching Amistad. We watched Braveheart.
We watched Braveheart.
Yeah. Saving Private Ryan.
Man, teachers were crazy back then.
I was going to say, I was a little bit behind you guys in school. I don't know if I got that.
They were showing him Finding Nemo back in his grade school.
Yeah.
Dude, they would wheel in that TV cart with the VHS thing.
Yeah, kids today don't get to experience that.
Yeah, it's a
that.
Patriot.
Everyone's like, yes, let's go.
That was the best. Yeah, when you saw, especially a substitute teacher and the TV was just there, you're like, oh, it's going to be a day.
I think we watched Forrest Gump for some reason, and it has nothing to do with it was in history class because it had historical events in it. It's he's a special needs boy.
There's a lot of good
classic Tom Hanks.
It's what does this have to do with anything in U.S. history?
Phil, I'm not sure you're not drinking your own urine right now.
I know.
It's sterile, and I like the taste.
But it cools it down with ice. So, Phil, you hit on something that I think is a great segue into talking some good war movies. You said top three war movies. So give me your top three then.
Fury.
That's interesting.
World War II or war movies, period?
Well, it could be both, right? Because if you're going that, you'd have to probably say World War II. To start.
I'd be interested to hear your answer either way.
World War II?
Yes, both ways.
Bastards, Fury, and this?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Bastards, Fury?
All.
Oh, Bastards, Fury, got it.
Inglourious Bastards, yeah. All war movies?
If you leave out the Patriot, I will fight you.
Top three?
It's not top three. It's not. Because I put Bastards and Saving Private Ryan
for the Patriot. Braveheart's better than the Patriot.
Well, I might fight you again. I think we had this discussion on the
Braveheart Patriot is a million times better than the
Patriot. Men Who Stare at Goats. Top two.
Mohicans.
Well, Phil, speaking of that, Mel Gibson was actually touted to play Miller instead of Tom Hanks. For this movie, which would have been interesting because he's in The Patriot and Braveheart, but he's Australian. So
Mel Gibson is not Australian.
He is Australian.
He is not Australian.
Would you want me to prove you wrong? All right. Yes. Talk so much yourself, boys.
Yeah, good idea. Great. I mean, it's a really good movie. I watched it on Sunday. And I was telling Phil before everyone else hopped in there. It's one of these movies where, I haven't watched it in 15 years. So I was kind of watching it for the first time, but I kept getting surprised by all the actors in it. And then I was just sitting there, I'm like, this is just such a good fucking movie. So it was really, really enjoyable experience. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
So I'll split it with you, with you, Phil, because he was born in the U.S., but he spent the majority of his childhood in Australia. We'll split it.
He makes just takes a drink of his piss.
Yeah, yeah. Not Australian. Yeah. So,
well, that brings up a debate. I won't. We have.
He lives in the Palisades, or he did.
As a fucking adult.
Yeah. So, as far as the movie goes, or as far as the top three war, yeah, the Braveheart is better.
Well, one movie that I would
throw I love into, Last of the Mohicans. Gotta get the French and Indian War in there.
It is good.
The local one. And DDL.
Yeah. I've that's the only reason why that movie is amazing. It's DDL.
True.
One movie another that, true American. Do you consider Gladiator to be a war movie?
No. Nah.
Because the opening.
Yeah.
And that Dunkirk's a great movie.
You guys is what is the beginning of Saving Private Ryan the best opening war scene ever? Because I actually like watching the Gladiator war scene better.
I don't know. I think Saving Private Ryan, like just how it's silent to start, and then it's just you're on the boat.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like a crazy way to start anything. I was talking about the first Call of Duty I played, Call of Duty Finest Hour, when we were getting ready to record this. And I'm pretty sure that whole game starts with you being one of the guys in the boats. And I didn't watch like a ton of these movies as a kid. but like I do remember like as like a 6-year-old playing like where you're storming the beaches of Normandy and just watching people get mowed down. So that had like a very similar, you know, impact on me is just even watching. And it's a
completely
movie.
Different style because like in Gladiator, like the good guys win the opening battle scene in this movie. They technically do win, but like they're getting the shit kicked out of them for 20 minutes. And just everyone's saying, like, the first thing, once those gates come down and they hop into the ocean, it's pop, 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 blood on the lens, all gone. It's crazy.
And there's just so many of those like men sailing to their like instant death and just like the carnage to get like beyond, like through that. It's incredible.
Yeah.
If you're on that boat, I'm going to be like, I got a shit, guys. I'm heading to the back of the boat here.
Yeah, I'm gonna hang out here in the back.
Yeah. You need help driving this thing, or I mean, I can get behind the wheel there and do some driving for you. Or...
Yeah, who's ever driving the boat had a shield. He's got a sort of mate.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if you're tired, I can grab the wheel real quick.
Maybe we just stop here. I can swim the rest of the way.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we just take a break.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, let it breathe.
Good. Yeah.
I smell gas. Stop the engine.
Well, I saw a nice restaurant a couple miles back. We can head there.
Phil, so the U.S. was in charge of storming two beaches, Omaha, and what was the other one? Do you remember
historically? Utah.
Yeah, it might have been Utah. So at the Utah beach, which was like the furthest left, it goes like U.S., U.S., Great Britain, Canada, Great Britain, in terms of like the beaches that we were storming on Normandy. And the Utah one, which was the other U.S. one, they only had like 100 and something casualties. And Omaha just got completely obliterated. So what a fucking luck of the draw if you got to go to Utah as opposed to Omaha. It's crazy.
Well, I know. The one of the Canadian ones was like really bad too. Like,
yeah,
I want to say they had more losses than we did.
Well, yeah, it was probably like as close as you get to, what was that? There was one beach that we like fooled them that we were thinking we were going to, like Kail, something like that. Mm. You know, remember that? So it's like the shortest point between Great Britain and France English Channel. And we fooled them to think that we were landing there when we were landing further to the west. But like as far east as you get to that, I think the carnage was a little bit worse. So, but that is what's interesting. It's like, this is an American movie, right? It follows all Americans. There's not, I don't think one British guy in there, right? There's no, they don't run into any British soldiers or anything like that. It's totally Americanized.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not one black guy, not one woman, not one Mexican.
I mean, there were, I don't know what, battalion they were in, but there were black guys there in World War II, right?
Plenty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
That was just, like, couldn't they get taped?
You know, Mom?
They couldn't tape just name everyone like Omar Epps.
Yeah, they couldn't have got Denzel to pretend to be like a general or something. Like, oh yeah, hey.
He was already in glory.
These motherfucking Nazis.
Yeah. <Under
spirit. laughs> All right. So I don't have the death toll by like area. But on in the invasion of Normandy, the US had 29,000 killed, 106,000 wounded or missing. Britain had or the United Kingdom had 11,000 killed, 54,000 wounded or missing. Canada had 5,000 killed. So 13,000 wounded or missing, and I was like, France only had people killed, didn't have people missing. Those are civilians.
Yeah, because they had no military back then because they got
It says 12,200 civilians killed and missing. Germany had 30,000 killed, 80,000 wounded, 210,000 missing.
Fuck yeah.
We know where they are. I
hope they found them. Yeah. Yeah, they all went on to be scientists in the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know where they went.
Argentina.
Yeah.
So is that everyone's favorite scene is the first one?
No.
It's not my favorite scene.
I would say... Yeah, what's your favorite?
Mine's a little more low-key, but I think it hits home message that the movie kind of puts out, where I think it's Miller. It's when Miller and Ryan, Hanks and Damon, are talking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was like, I was a teacher back home. And then, you know, Private Ryan was like, oh, I could never be a teacher, you know, the way me and my brothers were. And it's kind of, it just shows that war puts people from all different walks of life on both ends of the spectrum, so to speak. You got the teacher and the troubled kids, and they're both in the same spot fighting for each other in the same war. And I think it makes all that trivial, you know, first world problem stuff seem super small, but it also shows like, how all different types of people were signing up and fighting in the same war for the same cause. And that's not something that you see much these days. Like, we're much more divided in every possible way today than we were back then. But that conversation alone, you know, they're talking about how it was, where they were, where they came from.
Does anyone have any family members that served in World War II?
I think I did, but they were like great uncles. I'd have to like look into who it was. But I had like, you know, like extended family that did. Following up on your favorite scene, because mine's the exact same message. Mine is when they're still trying to find Private Ryan, and they have the German guy hostage, and they all start like exploding on each other. The one guy's ready to shoot the guy for not following Tom Hanks's orders. And then that's when Tom Hanks originally says, I'm a teacher back home. Like, and they just, that's like, for my moment, that's where I was sitting there. And I was like, yeah, these, I was talking about this with Phil earlier, like, even like when you think about war today, right? Like, it's not the same. Like, now it's like, you know, people killing other people, yeah, and they don't even like look at it like human life, but they're just doing it from thousands of miles away, where it's like an AI algorithm's doing all this stuff. But I'm like, these were just like, these weren't even like, you know, skilled people that spent decades in the military or were like brought up like that. I'm like, these were just regular people that like came together for what they saw as a greater cause. And like, you know, just extended like as far out as like losing your humanity as possible, like just being pulled to that moment. And these people weren't equipped for that. And it was just like, that was a really impactful moment for me too. Like, just where I had, you know, I don't watch a ton of war movies, at least recently. I've seen like the ones you're talking about, but I'm just like, it was just like, so like, wow.
Like Joe DiMaggio enlisted, like there was many celebrities, athletes that enlisted in the army. Like Joe DiMaggio, could you imagine if like, okay, we got a war in Iran now. If Aaron Judge just enlisted and said, I'm going over there and I'm fighting those, whatever.
I'm going to give them the you-know-what.
Like, no, I can't remember if this was World War One or Two, but the Eagles and Steelers had to become one team because they had lost so many people that went away to fight the war.
Never knew that.
That was where the Eagles came from.
That's crazy.
To answer your question, because I'm an Eagles fan and the Madden facts back in the day.
I believe I did have on my dad's side, because I just found out who my dad was a couple months ago. I believe World War II, all the way back to the Civil War, I have family that fought in the military. There's a county in North Carolina named after my ancestor.
Well, we know what side.
War General Dorsey Pender.
You're like Lieutenant Dan. Every generation had one of you in each.
Yeah.
Stevie, I've never seen your legs. Do you have legs? Got these magic legs.
Yeah, man. Magic legs.
You ain't got no legs.
John, I actually...
That was your free trial for my foot picks.
I share the same favorite scene with you, Joe John, outside of the war scenes. Because I think the last scene is just incredible, but
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that brings a lot of humanity to that scene. And Sizemore and what the hell's the other guy? Ed Burns' character is just going at him, pointing a pistol at him. Saying, I'm gonna fucking shoot you because I don't fucking like you.
I think them preparing for the bridge is my favorite. Like, they're making the sticky bombs. They're, you know, Jackson's getting up in the tower, hiding in that rubble pile. And then when they're like sitting, listening to the music and Upham's translating, I like that one. But Stevie, to your point, or your scene, I think, Joey B, did you, the Ringer did, Rewatchables did this once, and I think it was them that was talking about it, but like that interaction where Tom Hanks and Matt Damon are like going back and forth, and Matt Damon's telling that story, and just the look, like the deflated look on Tom Hanks's face, like, I had to risk my life for this idiot that like his favorite memory is like, oh, his brother was making out with a chick,
kind of sexually harassing.
Yeah. We had to save this doofus, and then the whole earn this thing, like, I think he was pissed that he had to go do it. And I mean, he talked about that, where like, oh, if my boss, like, oh yeah, it's a great idea and blah 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 blah, and then if I wasn't the boss, like, no gripe to you, the gripes go up, not down.
Yeah, well, so one thing about that scene is That is a great quote. I love that too. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to be like, you're a peon. I'm not going to gripe to you. There's no point in that. But the story by Matt Damon about his brothers and the ugly chick, that was completely ad-libbed by Matt Damon, which is kind of funny. Yeah. And I just completely lost my train of thought. It's good podcasting. So there we go.
It'll come back.
It'll come back.
Yeah. But no, yeah, he came up with that on the spot, and it's like, that's the best memory that you've got, and yeah. So,
well, think about like everyone arguing over, hey, why do we have to do this? Like, this is bullshit. We're gonna lose guys on the way to save some jerk off. Like, you weren't just automatically gonna go home after you stormed Normandy. Like, there was lots of battles to still be had to take capture of France. If you weren't out trying to find this singular soldier, you were going to still continue to be on the front lines in battle anyway. Like, there's no given that, hey, I'm safe now if I don't have to do this mission. So
yeah. What's the alternative?
Mission, you know, we get to sort of operate on our own, under our own rules. And if that earns me the right to get back to my wife, then let's do that.
I think in a way it also kind of mirrors like where they are at in the war, kind of mirrors their previous life, so to speak. So as a teacher, you know, he said, I dealt with worse kids than you. Like, I, you know, that doesn't sound like anything special to me. Like, he was used to working with tough, rough around the edges kind of guys, leading them into their adulthood, you know, leading them to the other side of life. And then here he is in the middle of a war, saving this dude's ass, leading him to the rest of his life in a way, you know. So it's a mirror image, little bit of a different outline, but
doesn't he say he's a baseball coach?
A teacher and a baseball coach.
Jimmy Dugan.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right with you.
Yeah. See,
wait, I thought he wasn't in World War II. He had no cartilage in his
knee. Doesn't have any cartilage to do this. all right. Let's go. Nope. What?
No, I thought you were going to segue into best character. So
I was about to. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to segue right in. Who's your favorite character, or you know, who do you identify most with if it's not your favorite?
I'll lead off because
please.
Well, I think it might be the universal choice here because Barry Pepper as the sniper is so fucking good in this movie. Barry, like he's poignant. He's well spoken. He's a badass. He always had like whoever wrote his character like really. He just had like the best lines out of any of the soldiers. He wasn't a smart ass.
I feel like the one dude that was like built for that. Like he was supposed to be there. That was all he ever should have been.
Yeah, I want a backstory on him. I want to know, was he a sharpshooter before that? Was that like, you know.
He's that gig? Mountain gruff dude that just lived off the land by himself.
Yeah, he's definitely had prior relationships with firearms.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's awesome. I mean, and I definitely don't see myself or relate to him very much. Honestly, I would probably Phil's gonna laugh at this. I would probably relate most to Upham because, like, I have no fucking war experience. If I was chosen for a tough assignment that's probably gonna get me killed, I'd be like, "Yeah, hey, Captain. Just so you know, I don't know how to shoot a gun. I've never been in war before. Please pick somebody else.
Can I bring my typewriter?"
Yeah. And like you hear a knife fight going on upstairs. I'm like, I'm going to stay back on this. I don't know how I would.
Oh, that was so infuriating to watch.
Yeah. If anybody else says differently on this podcast, let's get you in a knife fight real quick.
100%.
CVP, never mind. I think CVP would handle himself well.
In a knife fight?
100%. If we're in war, and I hear that going on, I'm getting up there. Not peeing myself on the steps.
So you don't identify with Upham. Who do you identify with them?
My favorite is probably the character of Jackson and kind of the personality of Mellish. but I think I identify with Ryben.
Which one is he?
The one that he's like, oh, I was squeezing that lady into a bra two sizes too small, and she's just pouring out of the thing. I think I liked him, or I related to him, because he very clearly just doesn't want to be there, but he's still going to get it done. He survives, but he was a survivor, and he was competent too. Like he got a bunch of them, at the bridge.
The final battle. Yeah.
He's a guy that did what he needed to do when exactly. He needed to do it.
Yep. And then he probably went back home to Brooklyn and worked at the bra shop for some reason.
Proper plot armor on that guy.
Back when 40 hours at the bra shop could get you a house. And
God bless him.
I'm going to take Tom Hanks' character, Captain Miller. Not necessarily that I relate to him. I don't know if I'd say I relate to any of the characters in this movie. I talked to Phil about this. We're going to come back to this, but like, obviously I wasn't raised and I haven't like been called to war. However, I have a life where I just sit at a desk now and I'm anxious enough as is. I don't think I could do it. I don't think I'd make it. I don't necessarily think I relate to any of the characters. I don't see myself as anyone when I watch this movie, but Captain Miller is just such a good character. And it's how I would like to think I would act.
Yeah. Classic Upham.
No, and that's right, Joe John. Like, you would think that you would want that, but that's why, like, Upham, and I know that, God, we talked about Upham so many times on different podcasts because of, like, he's such a piece of shit, but, like, he's really the avatar for the audience. Like, 99.9% of anyone who's seen this movie has not been in any sort of combat zone, and, like, they would probably piss their pants at it. And we would think that we would be the Miller or we would be Ed Burns' character, but probably the majority of them would be Upham, who's just sort of hiding in the stairwell waiting for it all to be done.
Yeah, just, just groveling in fear.
I do like that he shot the guy at the end. That was nice. I forgot about that.
I don't know if I missed something. Like, I understand that he's like the knife fight and what was going on, but was there a specific reason why the Nazi guy just like walked past him after killing those two other guys?
Yes. Phil, fill him in here.
It's the German. It's the guy that he saved.
Oh, I don't think. I did not make that connection.
I don't think he, to be, so he, because he's sitting on the steps. He's got his back to him. So,
no, he's not standing.
Is he?
Yeah. I watched it today.
Oh.
So they make eye contact. So Joe John, so it's the soldier that they saved at that radio tower that he was digging this.
As soon as you said that, I just did not connect it.
Can you see? And, like, you're right, though. Because I knew that was the case, not the first time that I saw it, but like it is like a little bit indistinguishable. It's like he needed some sort of different mark or haircut or something like that for you to identify him better.
I didn't know that until Saturday.
Oh, really?
I kind of like that it's not like explicit, though. I like that that's like a hidden detail.
Audio description is like the German from the radio tower. And I was like, oh. But as a kid, years ago, I was like, it looks like him, but not quite him. And then it's like, and then he's there at the end. So it's like, is it him? Like, I didn't think it was.
Yeah. But it makes a lot more sense now when you see them in the stairwell and they don't combat. I was like, why doesn't the German just kill this little runt?
I know. He already killed the other guys. Is he not killing him because he's so pathetic? Because if so, I don't necessarily love that.
Yeah. He wasn't threatened by him, so.
No, it was because he saved his life. Oppenheim saved the guy's life.
Yeah.
And then he fucking killed him.
Yeah, because he killed Mellish, and then he killed Captain. Yep. So
yeah.
So yeah.
Perfect irony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stevie, character yet, Stevie?
Yeah, that was actually a really good question for me, because I can see myself being Private Ryan, getting myself in a little bit of a pickle, because I can make some dumb decisions sometimes. I saw myself humor-wise in Mellish, I think. Funny dude.
Mm-hmm.
But
you didn't.
I'm going to go with the medic dude. I forget his name.
Wade. Giovanni Ribisi.
Mm. Yeah, Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah. Just because he was like, listen, dude, I'm going to treat anyone wounded. I don't care. We're all fighting someone else's war. Anyone hurt, I'm going to fix him up because that's the right thing to do. And I could see myself doing that. And I also saw myself in Riven.
Riven, yeah.
Because he's like, what the fuck is the point in this war?
Hmm.
And I'd probably be bitching and saying that same shit the entirety of my deployment.
Yeah.
So, Stevie, if you could be... Because, like, I was thinking about, like, these old-time wars and, like, how shitty it must have been to be a medic on, like, Omaha Beach. Like, how do you save anybody there? And, like, just because you're wearing a red cross on your helmet doesn't mean that the Germans aren't going to target you. You're not looking at them. You have no ammunition. Like, would you rather be a medic or would you rather be a soldier on D-Day?
Damn. Man, that's a tough question. Dang.
Because I'm like, it's a thankless job, and like you're probably not doing much anyway. You're just giving people morphine.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering were the medics like deploying simultaneously, or was there like a little bit of a delay before like most of the medics like arrived?
Hopefully the latter. Yeah, I don't know.
I want to say medic because, I said, part of my brain would be like, "Why are we fighting this war? Like, this has nothing to do with us," type of thing. But I'd also be like, you know what? I'm kind of mad. I want to shoot back. But I think
the
Guardian side of me is like, you know, it's more prominent. So I'd probably just want to focus on treating wounded. Targets on my back just the same, but I'd probably be able to live myself a little bit better.
Yeah. Is spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen Saving Private Ryan, is Giovanni Ribisi's death your guys' toughest death to watch?
No.
No? Which one?
It's up there.
Mellish. I did not like this movie for years because
Adam Mellish. That's Adam Goldberg's character, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That pissed me off.
Punched him off in the face.
Well, it pissed me off until because he's like saying something and like, wait, what does that mean? What does that mean? It's like, okay. But then I found out a couple of years ago that he was saying like, stop fighting. Don't worry. It'll all be over soon.
Yeah. No, it that's tough because like, imagine staring a fucking German sweaty asshole in the face as you take your last breath. That's gotta be pretty brutal.
Yeah. And it was his bayonet.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That was a tough one.
Or the guy that's just writhing around on the ground next to you because he caught one in the throat.
Yeah. And they're rolling like on top of him.
Yeah.
You kind of hope that all your good deeds buy you a little bit of grace in that moment.
Maybe the throat cut. Cause it's
that's like, a tough really? One. The sniper is a tough one. Dude. The sniper is a tough one, right through the scope.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the German sniper. Yeah.
And he also gets
in the knuckle too, right?
What?
Was that a different movie?
Must be a different movie.
There's a movie I thought it was this one. I could be mistaken, but Sniper gets another hit sniped right in the knuckle.
I was just watching him get sniped in the eye.
And then Jackson. Do you think Jackson dies? He was in the bell tower. If the tower comes down under, he's still at the top of it. He'd be on top of all the stuff.
Is Jackson Barry Pepper?
Yes.
Oh, he's 100% dead.
Yeah.
What about the? I don't think it was a named guy. If it was a named guy, correct me. But when they try to do, when they first showed like the sticky bombs, and the guy tries to run up on the tank, and he just blows up. I was like, "What are you doing,
dude? Get rid of it! That's a bomb."
Paratrooper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we got.
Well, sorry, one death I didn't mention. The guy who gets hit in the head and then he takes off his helmet is like, yeah. Whoa, it saved my life. And then just get bombed right in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. I think.
Don't take off your helmet, you dipshit.
Yeah. I think the guy doesn't die, or at least that we're aware of. But I think the funniest thing about the movie is when the guy. Is like he's got like a bloody arm hanging, and then he picks up the arm and he's just carrying around like shell shot, but he's just like walking around.
I gotta find this arm.
Yeah, like what the hell do I do with this? Like, yeah, that part always gave me a little chuckle.
Honestly, if you got like a pinky blown off, like a clean blow off or like cut off or something like that, like I would take a second to look for it. Maybe they could still.
If I was like shooting fireworks outside and I could go to the hospital, yeah. If you're storming the beaches of Normandy, I think you just, you know, whatever you come out with, it's what you got.
Somebody give me some ice.
I'll be walking around. You guys ever watch King of the Hill? Yeah, I'm sure someone in here.
I'd probably carry it around.
Has anyone in here watched King of the Hill?
Yeah.
It's Hank been a Hill's, long time yeah, Hank Hill's dad lost his shins in Vietnam. Hank Hill Sr.
Yeah. Great.
So Phil, I want to pop in with one of my quick questions for you guys. I think Phil might be best at this, but you guys can feel free to jump in as well. So this movie was a big deal. It was made by at least a top 10 all time director in Steven Spielberg. So like, if you're making your Mount Rushmore of Steven Spielberg, does this make it? And what do you put on it?
Ooh,
that's a great question. I gotta look up.
So like, and I can list off some of his best for you guys. So Jaws, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T., Raiders of the Lost Ark. He did all the Indiana Jones movies. Empire of the Sun. Hook. Jurassic Park. Schindler's List. Amistad. AI. Minority Report. Catch Me If You Can. War of the Worlds. Munich. Lincoln. Bridge of Spies. The Post.
Lincoln was underrated.
There's a banger
that out there. Yeah.
What's that?
I said, Lincoln was underrated.
Yeah.
I fucking love Lincoln.
He loves Lincoln. Jurassic Park.
Yes.
I think E.T.'s got to be up there.
Yep, I agree. Saving Private Ryan's on there.
Yeah, Saving Private Ryan's on there.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah, but.
It's so close.
I don't. What was the third movie you guys just had? Because I just looked up his IMDb and it's got like it has like only three pictures showing right now, and it's E.T., Schindler's List. And,
Schindler's List.
Private Ryan.
I'd say Schindler's List instead of E.T.
Well, so there's like your personal favorites, and then like what would probably go on his Mount Rushmore. Like, there's no way Hook
Schindler's List would be on my personal Mount Rushmore.
Schindler's List.
And I haven't watched, like, I don't like Indiana Jones.
E.T. is more of a historical impact on pop culture alone. So that's why it's going to go on the Rushmore. My fourth is probably Minority Report. But
have you seen his 2001 movie, AI, Artificial Intelligence? I have not seen that.
It's with Jude Law. It's a good movie.
I have high hopes for the new Independence Day movie he's putting out.
Yeah, Disclosure Day. That looks pretty good.
Yes.
Oh, dude, that's him.
I'm so excited for that.
It's
to go on the Mount Rushmore.
It has to do with Independence Day?
It's like it's an alien movie. Aliens coming to Earth. Yeah.
They're already here.
He is fascinated with, like, a lot of his movies have to do with artificial intelligence or some sort of
existential. Yeah. That's really funny, though, because I've seen the Disclosure Day ads, but I really haven't watched, like, I haven't watched them. And I was like, oh, this is, like, probably something about, like, when people in government have to disclose, like, their stocks and stuff. It's Disclosure Day. Yeah. like a fraud movie type deal.
Close.
I was actually more excited if that was the premise. I'm not a huge Aliens guy.
Like a Big Short type movie.
Yeah.
I could see someone working for Kingdom of the Sun or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm. Empire of the Sun. Christian Bale. Yeah.
Isn't that Christian Bale?
Yeah, it's when he was a kid.
I think so. Like from the 70s or 80s. Not early
90s. He's been doing this for a while.
You know, he's American too. Joey B.
What was that?
Christian Bale, he's American.
No, he's not.
Shrek. Didn't he do Shrek?
I thought you were American.
Hot take. I actually like Indiana Jones a lot, but I like The Last Crusade better than Raiders of the Lost Ark. I don't know if you get there's any Indiana Jones fans on this podcast here today.
I've seen Indiana Jones, but not Temple Indiana Jones.
Temple of Doom, dude. Class.
Temple of Poon.
Lost Ark. Classic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's come down to, I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, flavors of Steven that you could pick from. So I think it's just different strokes for different folks.
One of the greats.
Steve.
What other categories we got, Phil?
You tell me.
I don't know. I just know, you know, you were under a bit of time crunch.
Beef?
Beef. We got objects.
I've got some beef.
We got your question, which I think I know what it is, but
I do. I think I do too. Phil, give us your beef.
My beef. What the hell is Caparzo doing? Vin Diesel. For those of us that don't know the names, what the hell is he doing? You're just gonna take a 8-year-old kid with you? Like, she reminds me of my niece. Okay. And then what? Like, yeah, carry her across the French countryside, like, as you fight Nazis? Like,
well, I do agree with you, Phil. He does say
family.
The decent thing to do is to take her to the next town over. But I'm like, you're in the middle of a war, like, invading France. Like, there's no safe place for this kid to go.
The next town they go to also has got Nazis.
They all have Nazis.
Everywhere they go, there's going to be Nazis.
Yeah.
So, like, what... What are you doing?
It's a bad break.
That's one of the beefs. The guy that gets shot in the helmet and takes it off and then just sitting there like, what? Staring at it. Like,
no way.
You just got double tapped and now you're done. what other beef do I got? Literally, I hated this movie for a long time because of the Upham just sitting in the stairwhile crying while Mellish is up there.
So that leads to one of my beefs. So, like, what was Upham's job in the last battle? So, like, he's running ammunition from side to side, but, like, why not just leave the ammunition with the guys there and then set Upham up with something that he can shoot, I guess?
Because he wasn't going to shoot anything? I don't know.
But, like, why does the animation have to be around his neck? Can't it just be at the guy's feet? They can reload if they want.
They're in an apartment upstairs. Like, you couldn't have just, like, okay, if you need any more, let me know.
Yeah, it's not like he's running back to, like, I don't know. I guess I just kind of thought that would be, you know, that I just pictured that being, like, a role. Because he didn't, I don't know. He only had so much ammo.
Yeah, but he's like, they're reliant on the bullets. It's like, if this guy gets shot or shits his pants, we're fucked. How about we just take the bullets and put it at our feet?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guys up top brought 1,000 rounds with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
A lot of, like, questionable decisions in the movie.
Yeah.
Well, do you think, so Stevie P, do you think, I'm thinking one of your questionable decisions is when they go invade, or they try and take out that radio tower when they could have just walked around it.
Yeah, the radar thing that got Wade killed. Yep. But yeah, machine gun, let's get it. Bruh, you have a sick-ass sniper. Use them. You know what I mean?
You know what, that's a good point. Yeah, they really did not use Jackson.
Like, it just seemed like, I feel like it was, I don't know, just didn't make sense to me. And my biggest beef is, like, from a narration standpoint, it's supposed to be a flashback type thing from Private Ryan, right? He's not in a large chunk of the beginning. How did he know all that?
Yeah. It's a misstep.
What they wanted to do was they wanted you to think that that was Tom Hanks in the beginning.
Correct. Yes. The first time I saw it, I was like,
the why.
Oh, yeah.
But it just doesn't make sense how he would know that.
He wouldn't.
Exactly. Unless so Ryan plot told twist, him, you know, on the way to like get us going, oh, no way. But logically, he wouldn't have all those details.
Yeah.
So. Well, they can count on four losers podcasting about it 27 years later.
Yeah.
This is a cool narrational twist, because honestly, I completely forgot. I'm like, oh, that's right. This is supposed to be Matt Damon, not Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Two things I just remembered. So another one of my favorite laughable scenes is like Paul Giamatti's just like, let me get this rock out of my shoe. And he just trips, knocks the wall over, and there's just a shitload of Germans in there. Like, like, what are they? Like, you don't hear them, like, outside. And like,
hey, that's that European construction.
I guess, yeah, these soundproof rock walls. Yeah.
There's no way that could have possibly happened. That they wouldn't have already tried to ambush them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Joey B, who's the death guy?
The death guy?
Oh, Mendelsohn. Mendelsohn, didn't he? Michelson, Mendelsohn.
I don't hear so well. He? What?
Yeah.
Jimmy Francis.
No, James Francis Ryan.
Jimmy Ryan? It's Bertier, Gary Bertier.
Yep.
Can you name anything else he's in?
No.
He's in Sons of Anarchy. Any fans?
I haven't watched it in a long time, but I love that show.
But he's the guy with a huge beard. And for the longest time when I was watching, I was like, that guy looks very familiar. Honestly, unrecognizable, because the massive beard down to his like waist. I'm like, that's Gary Bertier. Because I mean,
kind of see it, yeah.
Yeah,
massive. Like, really pointed out. It's like, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Left side, strong side.
Strong side.
Strong side.
Yeah, how about they just add in
Julius?
What was his counterpart in that movie?
Julius.
Why? They should get Julius in this war. We need a black guy.
He was in something, Julius.
He's out there.
He's in stuff. That was a beef.
Wait, did they ever blow the bridge?
Yes. No.
Yeah.
No. The Air Force.
Air Force.
Wasn't that like their original plan too? Was to like hold that bridge?
Yeah. I guess you're just trying to stop them from getting over too. But yeah, right. I was like, weren't you guys trying to save the bridge?
Yeah, the tank was on the bridge. Like somebody, you need to push that button. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, so the plan was to hold the bridge so that Germany could come across that they could come across eventually.
So they needed to get their vehicles across to take Cherbourg, and so they needed to cross that river. And so the U.S. needed the bridge, and it was a last ditch.
So to make sure that Germany couldn't do it. Got it. Right.
Yeah, I'm also like, you couldn't just like pause that for a minute, maybe get this dude to safety and then go hold the bridge.
Nope, got to do it.
Yeah, he wouldn't leave.
What dude to safety? Private Ryan?
He wouldn't leave.
Be able to die on, you know?
It would have been cool if we got to meet a little bit more of his crew, because like all these other guys were saving Private Ryan's brothers, like that he was remembering, like that we watched throughout the movie. But like Stevie P was saying, he didn't really even know any of them. So we could have gotten some more war stories or exposition through like meeting the other guys that were there.
Mm-hmm. All right. So my question.
It would have been nice, but this movie was long enough.
Yeah, I know. Making a TV show.
Speaking
of which, so this movie only cost $70 million to make, which I thought was crazy. Do you know what a single season of House of Dragons cost to make?
Well, it's different. You know, but it's like 500. Yeah, it's like 200 million.
It's 200 million.
Yeah, 20 years later and CGI dragons all over the place.
Yeah, but it's fucking CGI. You don't have to pay any actors. This is Tom Hanks.
The Seven Kingdoms budget was probably like $70
million. Yeah.
That's crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah, now ChatGPT makes all the movies.
Yeah.
So my question, did he earn it?
We don't know.
Seeing what you can see, use your observational skills. Do you think he earned it?
Oh, wait. I'm going to have a great answer to this, but I need to Google something quick.
All right, then I'll go ahead and go. He has, looks like a beautiful family, three lovely daughters, a son, a loving wife. So I would say yes, by that limited amount that I know about his life, yes. Did he cheat on his taxes? Maybe. Did he cheat on his wife? Possibly. Did he hit his kids because he has PTSD? Perhaps. We don't know.
It's possible.
I like to think that he did earn it.
Okay.
He was a good guy through and through.
So you ready for my answer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, because that dude went on to go to Mars. He went on to date Scarlett Johansson, I'm pretty sure, shortly after that movie was released.
Marilyn Monroe, maybe?
See where I'm going with?
Yeah, we could get just the Matt Damon verse together and just all his characters.
Where did Matt Damon date Scarlett Johansson?
Oh, I get what you're saying now, Jesus Christ. I did not get what you were doing there.
Yeah.
I was like, I know, you said he went to space. I was like, is there a Saving Private Ryan sequel where he gets stuck in space and they need to go get him?
Yeah, Martian.
Well, so I'm going to flip. Well, actually, I think, JoJon, you answered it, right, buddy?
Yeah, I like to think so. I don't have like a well-thought-out answer for that.
Phil, do you think he could have said something more profound than earn this, or do you like earn this?
Um, Yeah, I think he could have said something a little more profound, but he only had a couple words left, so I think he did the best with what he could.
All right. If you're out in the jungle and you're saving,
yeah,
and you're wounded, you're on your last leg, what are you saying to me?
I'm in the jungle, I'm on my last leg.
My computer's next to my bed. The password is this. Delete everything.
Don't even worry about the password. Throw it in the ocean.
Take my phone.
Take it out of the international waters and drop it. Delete all the Asian stuff.
It should be top. It's alphabetical order.
Yeah.
It's a good answer, John. Excellent. This is going to get specific and weird, but listen up.
Two dragons.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah, I think it was the right thing for the moment. It could have been, you know, go home and cure cancer or. Yeah, do something, but and that's what, like, did he earn it? I think he went back to Iowa. He took a job at the local lumber shop, and he worked there for 50 years, and married his high school sweetheart, had a couple kids. Did he earn
it? Does that mean earning it? Is that earning?
I don't.
Does earn it mean that you need to? Something to improve the human race, or does earning it just mean live your life as happy as you can?
Yeah, who earn do it. You owe to earn?
But see, that's where I think to my point earlier about Stevie's favorite scene, like he knows this guy is a doofus, and it's like, I'm going to die for this freaking clown. So like, I think that was him being like, earn the 8 lives that you lost.
Exactly. We would have saved you regardless.
Yeah.
But now that we saved you, I want you to be someone worthy of being saved.
Yeah. Do something profound. And based on how he was dressed, I don't think he did.
I bet. I think he earned it. I think his grandchildren are probably little fucking shits though that are ruining it.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. His son's a cuck probably.
I would say he earned it simply because he's able to look back and tell the story in such a way that it really honors all of their sacrifice.
Yeah.
And to me, that would be earning it. Like you actually understand what was put on the line for you to be there.
That'd be such bad survivor's guilt.
Agree.
Does this make you have any desire to go to Normandy?
Fuck no.
I do. I want to
like
go
today. Normandy. I'll go check it out.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like it would just riddle me with anxiety.
I think it would be badass. You know, all these paintball places, like oh, do like this cool thing and that with the paintball.
Careful what you say, Phil.
What? They should make. Know.
You're talking about like shooting guns at Normandy.
They should make not paintball at Normandy, but like.
That'd go crazy.
Some paintball
replica.
Place. Yeah, yeah, replica. Right. Omaha Beach. And like,
I played like a D-Day paintball like game mode before. I was probably like 15 or 16. We weren't at the beach, obviously, because it was upstate New York. But it was just like a wooded area, and you had like the high ground and like the low ground, and you just had to defend the high ground. I was unfortunately a Nazi.
You guys ever play Tower of Power in Halo?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Custom game on Ascension where like the one team controls the turret tower and everyone else is just swarming it. Every time I played that, I thought of Normandy, and I was like, "This must be what those guys felt like—just you know, dying 500 times until you finally breach."
Do you think the Nazis look back on D-Day and like, we had it?
Yeah, we really fucked that one up, boys.
Yeah.
Well, they got duped. They got duped by us. Like, there was a lot of deception that went into this shit. Like, we floated, like, tinfoil out of planes to fuck up their radars to make them think that we're going somewhere else. We used inflatable tanks to fuck up their recon. We dropped, like, fake dummies out of airplanes to think that we were actually dropping troops into different parts of France that we weren't actually doing. Like, they fucked up.
Yeah. Being a war strategist back then probably was a lot more fun than it is today.
That's why
now it's just like a Palantir drone fucking bombing a school.
I wish that game, Hell Let Loose, like, I wish it wasn't a shooter, that it was a strategy game. I would dominate that.
All of that would have been for naught if Hitler did not decide to have a two-front war.
Yeah.
Right? Because if he didn't do that...
Keep him in fine.
Or maybe even if he did that, but he actually took Russia, if he didn't stop just outside Moscow, and he actually pushed into Moscow and took it over, there's a very good chance that the whole Normandy Beach situation would just be like, yeah, we got it.
But there is actually...
It doesn't fucking matter.
On History Channel, Tom Hanks is narrating like a World War II documentary.
Oh, and
I'm watching the entire series.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. So, recommend.
Well, yeah, I mean,
what is it called?
It's just World War II by Tom Hanks. You can also go on Netflix and watch best events in World War II history, and it goes over Pearl Harbor, D-Day, Stalingrad, a bunch of other different battles, and that's honestly just as good as listening to the Tom Hanks one.
They should have paid
the Circle of Evil. That's a good one.
Yeah.
World War II in Color. That's a good one.
That's the same one. World War II in Color and best events of World War II.
World War II in Color is like the most well-known.
It's great.
Also, I feel like I know we didn't talk about it, but I feel like they don't show that the Nazis were all on meth. Like, especially
Hitler. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Like, just tons and tons of meth.
Yes. That's why they were doing like 70 different drugs. Like, had a morning drug cocktail.
You had to shoot him 8 times.
He was losing his mind towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then he blew out his mind.
Did he?
Allegedly.
Yes. Allegedly. We'll
Argentina.
Yeah, right.
I don't think he did Argentina. I think a lot of them did, but I don't think he did.
You think he actually did it?
Yeah.
I'd say so.
I don't know. That could be a...
Maybe a conspiracy.
Yeah. Conspiracy. You're batting like 1,000 today. So,
I know.
Be a good argument for Conspiracy Theory Thursdays.
Exactly. Bring that
little boy back. Today's topic, Hitler.
When we used to do this podcast more than once a quarter.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I got this bag on, guys. You notice this?
You what?
I can't read it.
Tree Fort.
Oh, I didn't even know we had the shirts. That's a good logo. Okay. Once we can see that and post edit, it'll probably look a lot cooler. Okay, I see it. Nice.
There you go.
You guys get your butts home. You've got
fits great on you too.
Some supplies waiting for you.
This is actually the medium. It's a little tight.
The black ones are very tight. The white ones, you can see people's nipples through. So,
I'll take that one to look forward to.
I got the white one for all of the girlfriends and wives.
I told Lynn Maple you cannot wear a bra when she wears this.
All right, let's put a cap on this excursion here. But
put a sticky bomb on the side of it.
Yeah, it's a sticky bomb on these wheels, but we're going to blow the bridge here. Next
Alamo.
Next episode. I don't know what we're doing, but could be a good one. Give it a listen.
Yeah, we can do another movie. Movies are always fun.
Brand new day comes out next month. I'm just saying.
Speaking of D-Day, Brendan Fraser back.
Oh yeah,
in the movie. Yeah, a D-Day movie. So
you and your Brendan Fraser love affair.
I love Brendan Fraser. I miss him. I'm gonna watch that tonight. Blast from the past. Yep. So, all right, everyone. Well, thank you for stopping by and listening with us and enjoying this discussion. We appreciate all the love and support. Please like, subscribe, hammer that YouTube, hammer that Instagram, get in there, shoot us a message on Facebook, let us know what's up. But with that being said, you guys take care and hey, earn this.
Earn this.
Cocaine's.
Thank you for all those who serve.
Go Nick.
You're the real hero.
Indeed.
Go Nice.
All right.
Peace.
Oh.